Welcome to the most prestigious, awe-inspiring, game-changing night in rugby. A night to chuck on those glad rags, pack away your balls and your sack, and settle in for a night of glitz, glam, and a few wines. It's the third annual 2CGDs! Now, let's join your host, Mark from 2 Cents Rugby, and that guy that sits next to him on this podcast.
Right, you got the awards there.
Yep, everything's ready to go. All the guests are finding parking and making themselves comfortable.
Fantastic. Here we are again
for the final time this year.
One more time.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Until the Six Nations roll around in like a week or something, and then we're back.
Something like that.
That's right. I feel like this isn't the best shit to, or like cold open. Would you call them a cold opening? I always think of them as more of a rambling open.
Lukewarm, you know? At best.
Yeah. They're not a, they're not orchestrated. You know, we've never been the type of podcast to be like, hey everybody, welcome along to Two Cents Gets Distracted. It's a rugby podcast with this your host. True.
Two Cents.
And Tony from Distracted Sports. How
right. You referred to myself as Two Cents, like in the third person the other day, and this guy Joseph was like, don't do that.
Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah. Look, can I address the elephant in the room?
Okay,
you don't have a hat on.
This is true, and I do have hair.
And I've got a different kind of hat on.
You do.
Because it's a fancy night.
What night is it, Tony?
It's the night of the 2CGDs.
What's up with the glitz? And the glam.
Oh, it really is.
We're even drinking wine.
We're drinking wine. Cheers to you, sir.
And this is not because we've mucked up the edit yet.
No, this is the only time we'll be drinking wine. Hopefully, we're going to have to scrape up another bottle of wine from somewhere if we're
recording. Yeah, usually we save wine for round two in case we have ballsed up.
Just to get through it.
Basically. Good to see you.
Another 30 or so episodes. I think we've done, this might be episode 33 or 34 for the year.
Goodness me.
Last year we did 36.
Last year was a World Cup year, so we had to put in a bit of extra effort. Next year, Lions, so there'll be a bit to talk about.
More, it just doesn't stop the old rugby, does it?
This is true.
Yeah.
This is both the blessing and the curse of having a sports-related YouTube channel, that your content lasts all of 5 minutes before it's totally out of date, but then you never really have to think about, what am I going to talk about, because there's always more rugby.
What's a crazy concept that I can come up with to talk about? Well, that's why Distracted Sports originally was a bit like that. Like,
yes. Whatever happened to the old Distracted Sports?
Ran out of time.
Okay.
It's still there. Like, the channel still exists.
It does.
Did I make, oh, that's bad.
You made one video this year.
This podcast takes me a fair amount of time every single week.
You edit every single episode.
Yeah, put all the thumbnails together.
We record this at your house using your equipment.
Set it up.
And mostly
then,
drinking your booze, although we've had some sponsorship recently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got the sponsorship continues.
It does.
It's sweet, sweet sponsor money.
We do appreciate the sweet, sweet sponsor money.
I can't wait until we see.
We're not quite at retirement level yet, but we've had some free booze.
Yeah, we have had some free booze, which might just retire our livers, essentially. Not quite. We're at beer money, but we've upgraded to wine money this week.
We've spent the sponsorship money
on
some wine.
Now, look.
You know, one of the greatest things about the sponsorship is me going shopping for alcohol, trying to find somehow related themes, right?
Yes.
And our current sponsor, Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery,
is
obviously kind of a nautical theme. And the first week I found, like, Captain's Beer, and I was like, easy. And then second week I was like a little bit less connected. It was like Showboat.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, it's got a boat.
It's a boat.
And then I was like, well, final episode, let's get some wine, let's keep it classy. And I was like, there'll be so many options that I'll be beating them off with a stick as to which one to choose. I must have been asked, well, it's not that bad. I was asked by two staff members.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Do you need any help? Because I was looking for frickin' wine for that long. What? And the best I could come up with was Red Knot, because I figure if you're on a boat, you better know how to tie some knots.
It looks like a knot on it.
It does. It looks like a wee knot.
Yeah, anyway, look. We'll talk more about the wine in a sec, but thumbs up yacht delivery. Thank you very much for the wine. Thumbs up yacht delivery. If you're looking for a great yachting experience, you're gonna give these guys two thumbs up. Because sure. If you're in a situation where you're in Auckland and you've left your boat in Sydney,
that's right.
They can pick up your boat in Sydney and bring it over to Auckland.
They are based in Mallorca.
Yeah, so it's gonna be that quote might. You know, that you could get them for a quote. You might
Matt
be surprised.
Matt did say that he could do, you know.
Auckland to Barcelona.
That's right.
He said it with no trouble whatsoever. I think he just loves sailing. So
yeah, basically.
If your yacht, and I know there's a lot of you out there with the yachts, it's a common problem for a lot of you thinking, oh, God.
My yacht's here, but I'm there. How do I rectify this situation?
I brought my yacht. Yeah. And then he'll bring your yacht to you. So on the off chance that you are a random individual, you're like, you know, I was so random. I watched these two stupid dudes from West Auckland talk about rugby, but I am,
In
possession of a yacht.
Which needs to go from A to B.
He's your man. He is your man. And he loves yachts. He loves boats.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, Dirty Dow.
He's changed the name now to TU for thumbs up, yacht delivery.
All right,
so the handle more fits the YouTube channel.
That makes more sense. You'll see his description down below. And also see...
He's got some videos, and you can tell the dude just loves.
He loves them boats.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing what he loves.
Yeah, 100%.
Very admirable.
Thank you for everybody who made comments about port and starboard.
Yeah.
Port's on the left.
Because it's four letters.
Yeah, and starboard's on the right.
That's pretty helpful.
What I said about posh, by the way.
Was actually correct. Matt actually was the guy who confirmed it.
Yeah.
So I believe him.
Yeah, it didn't believe me.
No.
You said I sounded confident. I was confident.
You always sound confident. That's why you're...
This t-shirt is black.
That's why you're good at what you do. We'll give you a thumbs up.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
I know you needed that.
I needed that big thumbs up today. Look, and you're not wearing a hat. So, yeah, big thank you to Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery. We appreciate you.
If you need your yacht delivered, link down on the socials. If you want to discuss, see a guy sailing a boat, check out his YouTube channel.
Yeah, 100% if you're a nautical enthusiast. It's something about me, I can get a t-shirt or something.
If somebody signs up for a yacht delivery and quotes the fact that you saw, you know, this yacht company based on...
I think you should get a t-shirt too.
Okay.
We both might get t-shirts.
I'm wearing a t-shirt from our old sponsor.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we very much appreciate all our sponsors.
We've had three sponsors this year.
We have had three of the most random... Love them all.
Yes.
We've had three of the most random sponsors, and I appreciate how random they are.
I know.
We had a dog walking company, Four Paws... run
up in Whangarei here in New Zealand,
and then we had the
Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club over in Ballard, which is in Seattle,
near Seattle or part of Seattle.
Part of Seattle, yeah.
It was contentious apparently back in the day, and now Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery. You know what? Who
would have thought?
What other podcast is going to deliver you?
This has got to be a world first.
Dog stuff, boxing stuff. And
yachting
and
stuff.
Yachting stuff pod companies wanting to get involved. So we appreciate you. And if you have a company and you want to buy us a beer.
For next year, for the Six Nations, get in touch. Get 100%. In line early because it's a hot property.
It really is. It really is. We're very cheap. anyway, look, before we get to the glitzy, glammy awards, and we've got all those guests really desperate, clamoring to get
inside. We do need to talk about the test match which happened at the weekend.
It was an actual game of rugby. You know,
I mean, the club rugby got back into action as well, but the main game we were watching... Ireland and Australia. Ooh. Commemorative one for the 150th anniversary, IRFU.
The Irish tops were tight.
They were.
They're all tight, but I remember
best
they're like...
Best Irish jersey I think I've seen in a while.
Really nice. I like that green, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Collar was nice.
I like them more in a slightly more emerald green rather than a bright sort of limey green.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed nice.
I like Canterbury's gear, but I don't think they've done the Irish team justice for a wee while, but that one was slick.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if you can get your hands on that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Is it for sale?
Yeah, yeah, they were selling them. It's part of the
shtick.
Yeah.
Anyway, the game itself, Australia were right in this one, weren't they?
They didn't have a lot of ball.
But defended bloody well, comparatively to the week before when they just were dropping off tackles.
You feel like they did more with less.
Yeah.
But Ireland three tries to one.
Yeah.
It's hard to deny them.
Yeah, but I thought the Irish...
You still don't feel like they've hit top gear this autumn.
No, I don't think so. I think teams have almost kind of started to work them out.
Mm.
I feel like that people know that if you you rush out on them. If you come out of your line, you're going to, you know, they're going to cut you apart. Like you saw, like the Fiji
Yeah.
format the week before,
and compete hard at the breakdown to slow that ball down. Yeah. Like you saw the Aussie Lucy's, like Fraser McWright. He was a right demon.
Fraser, so good that guy. He Jeez, is. I like Fraser McWright. But yeah, if you just sort of hold your composure and manage, like they come at you with interesting shapes, but they're. If you don't give them the opportunities by making mistakes on defense, they are not as effective. And I think, like,
you most of their first tries all came from pretty close range. Like, the Doris one was like a line out move, the McCarthy one was a maul, the Van der Flea one was also close range, like powering over after a line out. So, it's not like the Aussies went, you know, 20 phases, like the old Irish side would go 20 phases and eventually suck in so many defenders, the space would just be there. It was like you could feel it coming.
I don't know. And maybe it's a combination between the fact that the Irish team, people have sort of worked out their attack systems a little bit. But it also feels as though they're not as slick. They're not as concise. They're sharp passing.
They still
isn't that
drop
sharp.
A shitload of ball.
Yeah, they're passing behind the player. They're not running onto it at speed. They're not running the same lines as effectively. It just all feels a little sloppier, which is the first time in
a while you
many
can say
years
that.
That you can say that they're sort of.
Have we been too hard on them though? Because this autumn, like they lost to us. But then they've not played their best rugby and still they got wins in all their other games.
I think you just...
Are they getting a bit like, you know how All Blacks teams of old?
We
used to be that good that when we would win by 5 points, people would be like, man, you guys didn't play that well.
Is that
where Ireland's at now? Because they've set that expectation so high that when they get a 22-19 win, we're just like, wow, Ireland didn't play as good as they
100%.
Can.
That's just
the marker of a good team.
It's just what comes with... the weight of expectation.
Right.
When you've been playing really, really well for a long period of time, when you start to slide and you start to drop standards a little bit, it becomes pretty noticeable.
Mm.
And I thought, even though they won the Six Nations, I think their best performance was that very first game.
Against France.
But then after that, it's been, you know, they lost against England and just all the other games, they've been scratching through them. Doesn't really seem like they put a marker down.
They did
like,
get a famous win down in South Africa.
Yeah.
South Africa's been a pretty hard team to beat.
It's a fair shout. That is
and
fair
down
shout.
In South Africa, that was a pretty bloody big win.
It's not attacking Ireland. It's just they've been that good. That's the standard that they've... That's the marker they've put down.
Yep.
So that's what people are judging them on.
Yeah.
I think...
It's kind of a compliment.
Yeah. I think the Ireland team from last year beats this Ireland team.
Mm. Is it the sixth in factor partially?
Yeah, the sixth in factor and just I think...
Is it age? As some of these guys, I mean, it's only been a year,
but that's a year.
Mm.
I think a sixth factor.
The sex factor.
when you want to talk about a player that's going to make a massive impact, you know, the number 10 who's been had a mortgage on the jersey for the better part of a decade, is going to be a player who's going to be able to, you know, who's going to be really, really felt acutely when he leaves.
Mm.
And just with the, you know, I thought Crawley looked pretty good during the
like
Six Nations.
You like Crawley because there's Frawley and there's Crowley.
Crowley, shit, that always gets me. Crowley looked pretty good during the Six Nations. Frawley, they had that one good game against South Africa, which is epic.
Yeah.
Prendergast is untested.
Yes.
And... but there's no clear successor and be like, oh, that's the guy.
There's no like Sexton Mark II.
No.
Like I remember when Dan Carter left the Crusaders, right?
Yeah.
After they'd had such a team for all those years. And then they had Richie Morgan come in and I was like, oh, at least they've got some new guy who won't be that good. And then he was freaking amazing.
And they went from
They went from like a world-class dude to a world-class dude.
And so there wasn't that, that much. Before that, they had Andrew Mertens.
There you go.
Yeah.
So... I don't think Ireland have quite had that yet, have they?
No, they haven't been able to fill that void.
Good players, but they haven't got a guy yet who you're like, man, he's right up there for one of the best tens in the world.
It's a different kind of position. Like you need, like we see it with Bowden and D-Mac, players with all the skill in the world, but sometimes have brain farts.
Right.
You know, those players like Sexton and Carter, and well, like Bowden's one player that.
Twice.
Player of the world. Player of the planet?
World player of the
world
year.
World player of the year twice. So
I am rugby planet man.
But I think it takes more than just somebody who's just going to be a keen athlete and somebody who's going to dedicate themselves.
Yeah.
It takes somebody who's just an absolute, you know, phenom in terms of rugby IQ and smarts as well.
Yeah, I mean, Crowley or Prendergast or even, you know, Frawley might get there. They're still young dudes, but not Johnny Sexton Mark II just yet.
Not quite. Not quite. And it's going to be interesting seeing now that they've got Farrell leaving.
Going off with the Lions makes it an interesting time upcoming. It's still recording.
Yeah.
For Ireland, eh? Because they're going to have a bunch of guys go away with the Lions. They're going to have Andy Farrell away from now on, basically, until the Lions tour is done. So it's going to be an interesting wee transitional period for Ireland.
It is going to be an interesting wee one.
Well, they got some of the senior guys, especially like the super senior guys like Key and Ken Healy and, you know, Peter Armani, some of these guys who are like 34, very 35. And what, you know, what do they do with these guys?
Bundy Aki's very old.
Bundy Aki's 34.
Yeah.
Very old.
Very old.
Yeah.
They're not a young team. So
no.
Is this going to be a problem when they depth ongoing? Have they got the players coming through? I know they talk about how Leinster's a real...
The academy, eh?
It's a real...
always just brings through new talent. Talent,
basically. Mm. Oh, we'll see how we go. But look,
The Aussies?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of heartbreak for them that they were right in it with like not too long to go in the game. In the lead, 15 to go?
That's right.
And there was that one dubious call with the knock-on that got missed that led to the final try that the Australian commentators would have told. If you listen to Australian commentary, they told you all about it.
They do.
I think they're a pretty good commentary team, but they were particularly Australian over the weekend.
Yeah.
But the
host in the studio, once they cut back to studio, basically led with, a few controversial refereeing calls in this one. I'm like, man, 3-1.
Yeah. Well, one of those tries.
I know one of those tries, but still.
The fact they were still in that game probably indicates Ireland's discipline is a bit of an issue too.
And their handling and their line out. Like, Ireland's still got a few issues. And the Aussies certainly took a lot of positive, but they just had no ball. Like, if you notice the games where Ireland kind of didn't look that flash, obviously against us,
yeah,
I think they had 41% possession, and against Argentina they had like 49%. Like, Ireland, in all those games, they look really good, have like 55, 56% possession. They strangle teams, and they did that against the Wallabies. I think if they hadn't dropped as much ball, they probably score more points, but then a lot of that credit needs to go to the Aussies for being disruptive.
Yeah, and I thought they were playing. McWright was playing great. Valentini was playing great.
Yeah.
Wilson was leading from the front. I think we've given them a bit of shit this year, but... Lalasia,
he's
stepped over the plate a wee bit.
Over the autumn, I think he's looked better.
Yeah,
there's been times when he makes some head scratching decisions in the rugby championship, but he did look a bit better. Maybe Joe's confidence in him has been a little bit justified.
Poor old Tane Edmed
came on, got knocked out, and went off. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
That sucks.
Yeah. Maybe Joe Schmidt didn't manage the bench that well. Like, I think he brought on Harry Potter with a minute to go. He brought on Tane Edmed for his debut when they're 3 points behind with like three minutes to go. I guess he's figured out, just give him a crack.
Yeah, see what you can do.
Get knocked out.
That's what happens.
Sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles. But yeah, Tane Alatupo had an intercept that was mental.
Yeah. He threw it over his head. What am I doing?
They kind of blew that one.
Yeah. And then if he just did a great spiral to Swiley.
Yeah, on the left, yeah.
I don't know if he had that in his locker. Right.
They had another one that was like Nick Frost and Harry Wilson had a nice line break, but couldn't quite capitalize. But they were living off those moments. Like, the stats-wise, like, they finished with some pretty similar numbers, but the Aussies just had way less ball.
Well, Mark, that's international rugby for 2024.
That is.
Well done. It's not a World Cup year. We're not as butt hurt as we were this time last year. We were very sad.
No, everything on New Zealand sports talk radio and whatnot was all about, there's too much TMO. Oh,
the bloody TMO.
They denied us a try wrongly. La, la, la.
Yeah, I'm glad they're not doing all the stuff that they're doing with the obstruction law and Crockerel's extraction law and stuff that's been difficult to follow for this tournament. I'm glad that wasn't a big deal that people were talking about.
I watched the URC over the weekend, and then there was some like red cards, which like, oh, that's right, these are back to full-time red cards.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
So there was a...
I was like, oh, that sucks.
Are they going to try... Are they going
to... I don't know if they're going to change it or not.
Change it!
That's the thing. There was a lot of hoo-ha about those red card laws.
Love a little hoo-ha. But
I think they went well over the Autumn Nations period.
Exactly. And I've heard other people go, no, I think the right thing to do is punish the players. Let's keep them safe, hey, team. But it's bloody rugby. It's not safe.
This is true.
It ain't a safe game.
There are safer things you can do than be a rugby player.
It's dangerous as fuck. Like, you people can die playing this game. Sorry to take it a bit dark. But speaking of lighter things...
The Six Nations have changed their logo.
And it looks like shit. It does. It looks so stupid.
I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's a bit shit. Yeah. Right? That was my first reaction. But then I was like, I have to ask myself, sense check, right? Am I being the kind of grumpy old man who's like, change?
No,
I just don't like change. So I showed my wife and she knows nothing about rugby.
Yeah.
And I was just like, here's two logos. What do you reckon? And she was just like, that one's better. And looked from the old one. She was like, that one's better. Yeah. She was like, it's just clean. It looks clean.
In my opinion, in terms from, not that I'm a graphic designer, but does a little bit of stuff in that space at times, and marketing space at times, in other lives, or this life, a life we don't really talk about. Mm.
Tony has a life.
I do have a life. It looks like absolute dog shit. It's really ghastly. And with the red vagina behind it, it looks like a pulping couple of lips behind it.
What the hell are you talking about?
You see,
about?
Like the, you know how it.
Let's just get. You're talking about the logo.
The logo, yeah.
It's a rugby ball.
But it looks. Well, in that situation, it looks like M6.
And it's an upside down nine. As someone pointed out to me, it's an upside down nine. It's not a six.
Yeah. And then it looks like a couple of. Maybe I've just got veg on the mind.
Maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. But it looks gross.
You can rub one out.
Yeah. Rubbing one out to the Six Nations logo. Holy shit. You know life ain't going well when that's in there. I'm gonna feel like in a petrol station car park. Rubbing one out to the Six Nations logo.
It's not the greatest logo in the world.
Oh, God. This hat is making me feel very hot.
Take it off. Take it off.
We're both wearing shorts, even though it's a glitzy night.
That's true. It's pretty warm. It's
very warm.
But yeah, the Six Nations have changed their logo. They go with the men's Six Nations instead of just Six Nations.
Fantastic. Good for
so
them.
So it's a bit of balance. Bring balance to the force. Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I'm glad. I'm sure that everyone's really happy about it. They've made a great point.
They also put a video out. It's like a 1 minute video. Like to promote this new logo.
Yeah.
And it's like just all these shots of fans going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like all these shots of fans and crowd, like French fans, Scottish fans. And then at the end of it, it shows you a bunch of the goal kickers from each team. It's like a nicely edited shot where it goes, and they're all kicking the ball.
Yeah.
And then it just goes, rugby recharged. And I was like,
rugby recharged?
Like, what the fuck?
Why is it recharged?
I know. It's like the ultimate, like, someone spent thousands of dollars on this.
Sent it
and
to
this
like,
is just 1 minute of my life.
And you know,
life,
it's just sent to a marketing agency, and they've just gone, "We'll get Sarah from Plug and Play, a marketing agency,
chop up a video for you."
Yeah, and they'll put somebody together, and they'll, "Oh yeah, they got market, they got," and they would have been charged bucket loads,
yep.
And they probably could have got something better out of ChatGPT.
Yeah,
yeah.
I actually asked ChatGPT to make me a Six Nations logo, and it looked. I think it looked better.
Can you send it to me?
I got the color schemes a bit wrong.
Can you send it to me
wrong.
And we'll put it there?
Okay. You can edit it then.
Yeah. I don't know what it looks like right now.
It got the colors a bit wrong, but I was like, that's not bad.
Better than the...
I thought it was better than that. Trash.
Now I'm just giving myself editing jobs. Because this is a podcast that takes a bit of editing.
It does.
Because what night is it?
It's Monday. Monday night.
It's the third annual TCGs. Oh my god. On a Monday.
The two sets get distracted.
The third annual. This is the third case of this award. But before we really get cracking into the awards as a whole and who's won what, and it's an illustrious night. I know.
World Rugby's got their things in Monaco. But this is the 2CGDs from West Auckland.
This is what it's all about. Would you like to sort of once again sort of give us a little take on this beautiful statuette that our winners take away with them tonight?
We've got many of these prepared for our winners. So I guess some of them will be in person, some of them maybe in absentia. But
we'll see.
Yes, this represents the very best of the best that was rugby in 2024.
Indeed.
We got some new categories. We got some old kind of familiar ones. We had some good nominations for categories.
Yeah.
To be fair, some of the categories nominated were very specific, and we are old men with bad memories.
Yeah, exactly.
So we couldn't think of four things to kind of nominate.
Like greatest close-up
of a player. Of
a player, we're like, we could all, we could.
Someone just, suggested Ben Earl, because that was a very recent one.
Where he looked like the character from The Goonies.
Yes, but that's like the only one we could remember. Yeah. There were probably more, but we're old.
Yeah, if there were three other ones that we could have remembered,
we would have included it.
And Ben Earl probably would have taken away.
He would have won it, for sure.
But sorry, he's not winning one. So, well,
we haven't got that category, but he might appear later. We'll have to wait
and
see.
Who knows? So we've got a series of awards, a series of categories. Also, we've got the Elf on the Shelf, keeping everyone company. Merry Christmas, everybody. But should we get to it without further ado? But before, actually, can you just explain what you think the 2CGD is? What is it? What it actually represents? What's he doing here? What is the figurine?
It's a statuette. It's a human.
It is a human. It is a humanoid.
He's just getting ready to jump up and celebrate his award.
Or, alternatively, if it's a bad award, he's getting ready to put himself down on the porcelain throne and take
a dump.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a big old dump.
Yeah. All right, would you like to hand over some awards?
How do you want to do this? Do you want to read them?
I'll read them, and then you, and then we'll go through them.
Okay.
And then we'll talk through the...
Here we go. Very professional. Here's category number one. Why don't you take it out of the envelope, please?
Okay. Hold on. I've got the categories here. All right. This is one that's been on every year. Best big unit.
Best big unit. We appreciate a big unit. World Rugby doesn't love a big unit.
Yeah, exactly. This was the year Oxenshay should have won the World Cup.
Yes.
But by the way, Oxenshay isn't on this because we're talking about giant units.
He's not quite a big enough unit.
We looked at him. He's 109 kilos, which...
We're looking for 130 plus kilos. It's like the biggest of big units.
Big old bad motherfuckers.
Truckers.
Yeah. Okay, so best big unit. We've got Tamaiti Williams from New Zealand.
He's rocking 140 plus kilos. Plays a bit of loose head prop, can play tight head prop. Played well for the Crusaders and the All Blacks this year.
Mm-hmm. And then we've also got Pasoli Tuilagi.
He plays for France. He's 140 plus kilos, second row for France. I think he made his test debut this year, played Six Nations and went over to the Americas on their tour as well.
Vic, this is a recurring recurring one in the 2CGDs. I think it might be the first time we've had a lock and a non-prop big unit. Sorry, I don't have any female big units. World Cup year.
We did nominate a female big unit from New Zealand one year.
Yeah.
The World Cup year.
World Cup year. Can't remember who it was. Tanelo Tupou from Australia.
He is a genuinely a world famous big unit in rugby. Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
His thighs are bigger than my torso, and I've got a big torso. And Franz Machalbach.
Yeah, he's a big unit. I never realised
he was. What's he coming in at?
I think he's 130, 140 kilos. So he is a proper bit of South African beef. All right,
well, the best big unit for 2024 taking away the 2CGD is...
Taniela Tupou from Australia. He's beautiful. Mainly won this award, Taniela. Because I feel like the South African? I just think big units, I think South Africa. The Australian scrum goes down a level whenever he's not on the pitch. Alatoa did have a kind of bit of a resurgence towards the end of the year, but throughout most of the year, the Aussie scrum looked best with Bell and Tupou.
If Tupou was off, you really noticed.
Yeah, when it was Slipper and Alatoa, they were getting monsters many times this year.
And that's one of the... biggest weaknesses of the Australian game is that front row.
That's right.
And that's mainly when Taniela Tupou's injured.
He's been a bit injury prone. So when he's back, he's
taking that one. And unfortunately, Taniela couldn't make it today.
So Nella, we'll get this out to you, mate.
So, Mark Morgan from 2 Cents Rugby is accepting the award today.
On his behalf.
On his behalf.
Yes.
He's also one of the co-hosts of 2 Cents Gets Distracted.
I am, actually. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
What we got next?
This one is actually a fan nominated category.
Oh yes, this is actually came up by Rian Lowe,
who has his own rugby YouTube channel.
Go check it out; it's bloody great.
He puts out a video about every week during most rugby weeks.
He's not been as prolific this year, but he's one of the best in
the
game.
He's a great contributor to the game.
100%. Puts out more than the Distracted Sports. Well, Distracted Sports makes a video every week. Best heel in rugby.
Best heel. What's a heel, Tony, for anyone who's not?
I think it's kind of a term taken from WWF, professional wrestling.
Yes.
People who kind of lean into the villain profile.
The Rock was a heel for a while.
Yeah. Who else is Jake the Snake? No. Who's a heel? And
was Triple H? Was a bit of a heel.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels had a little bit of a period. Even
a lot of the guys, Hulk Hogan has been a heel for the NWO thing.
Yeah. There we go. That's the extent of our wrestling knowledge. I'm glad you got through that. Honky Tonk Man. Remember him? Do you remember him?
The Honky Tonk Man.
Indeed.
Jake the Snake Roberts. He had more than one snake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big old car. Is that what you're referring to?
The Ultimate Warrior.
Oh. He used to run out. He wasn't a heel.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
He wasn't a heel. He was a babyface.
No, I'm just saying. Naming wrestlers. Mr. Perfect. He was a heel.
The Boss Man.
That's right. Andre the Giant.
The Undertaker.
Yokozuna.
Shit, name another wrestler. You piece of shit. Dwayne the Rock. What's the guy? John Cena.
Oh, yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, shit. The Bushwhackers.
That's right. There was two of them.
Yeah, it comes to do it.
I can't think of any more.
All right, I win. Okay, best heel. Okay, first nominee is Riko Ioane.
From New Zealand. He's really leaned into his beef with Johnny Sexton.
Yeah,
Put that in your book.
Yeah, shove that up your ass is basically what
he was saying, yeah.
Yeah, and even like did a little...
Instagram post Instagram on that, yes.
Ville LaRue.
You nominated Ville LaRue.
I just find him to be a little bit painful.
He's a bit mouthy.
He's very mouthy, and I think I was on the... Same with the bloody podcast. It's a great podcast. I've forgotten that.
By the way, Rian is the guy who came up with the nomination for Rico. I was on a South African
rugby podcast last year that is called... I listen to it quite often and I've forgotten the name.
Rugby Bits?
Rugby Bits, yeah, because I love my rugby and bits. And I mentioned that he was like their Dane Coles. Like, everyone needs a dickhead and he's their dickhead. Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones, he's a bit of a heel.
Yeah, he was very heely last year, but he did the big turnaround backstab and like, you know when like the tag team guy would go against his own guy. And
I think he leans into that.
Then all of a sudden he put the kimono on and he became part of the Japanese strike force.
This is right.
I'm trying to put this in wrestling terms for everybody. And finally, Joe Marler. Joe Marler.
Just saying he stirred the pot a wee bit with the kind of haka thing on the verge of the game, knowing that he was stirring the pot.
Just trying to stir a bit of shit.
That's right.
And the winner for best heel goes through, I think there was only one real person who could have won this. Oh, we got another one here. Fantastic. The winner goes to Riko Ioane. Riko Ioane couldn't be here this evening.
Sorry, Reeks.
Accepting on his behalf is Mark Morgan from 2 Cents Rugby and also well one done. Of the co-hosts of 2 Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast.
Well done, Reeks. You really lean into that role quite well.
Yeah.
He does not take a step back. No step back from Riko.
Yeah, he won't he's back
quite,
down.
He's quite happy to be the villain.
And I won't back down. What's that song?
I don't know.
It's from... I'm not singing it very well. How's that? Who's the guy? Tom Petty sings Won't Back Down? Anyway, that's what's the name's theme song. So who have we got here?
Category number 3.
Oh, yeah, one of my favorites, actually. Shit, he's good. So this is a category for players that you might be sitting on the couch having a sneaky beer, and you see that player like make a 3 or 4 sneaky turnovers, you know, do a 4 or 5 great runs, and you're like, and you just keep seeing him, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, what's up with this guy?
He's shit, he's good. So the shit, I'm just pouring a wine at the moment. This is what all the professional little top up for you.
There we go.
This is what all the professional presenters do when they're presenting awards. They pour themselves wine.
Now, I should say Wallace the TT has been disqualified from nomination for this award because he won a very similar award with World Rugby being the Breakthrough Player of the Year.
Yes, indeed.
So when you're not allowed to have a 2CGDN, that award, it's just indeed. It's against the law.
Okay, anyway, so the nominees for Shit, He's Good, Fraser McWright from Australia.
Now, we knew he was good from the get-go, but there's shit, a lot of people good. Who probably would have looked at this Aussie team and gone, they're a bit shit, and then they would have seen Fraser McCrite and gone, shit, he's good.
Shit, he's good. Over the weekend, he looked.
Very good.
Shit, he was good. Tupou Vahi.
He's been with the All Blacks for a while, but he's never looked like...
He's been on the outskirts.
He's not been a test class lock, and now he is just absolute disruptor at line-out time.
One of my favourite things about him is not just around the park, but just that line-out.
Our line-out defence has become among the best in the world.
I think our line-out defence is almost better than our just accepting our normal line-outs. Sasha Feinberg Ngomozolo.
He also got a nomination for that Breakthrough Player of the Year with World Rugby. He has genuinely been class.
And the last one is a player I would have reckoned, wouldn't, Franco Molina.
Franco Molina, yes. Molina.
He, the number 10?
No, no, he's a lock. Argentina. At the start of the year, he got his...
Did he score a try in this?
He would have. He got a debut against, I think, France when they sent their B team over to Argentina. Yeah. And the guy was just playing domestic rugby in Argentina, like kind of semi-professional rugby.
Yeah.
And he was that good that he got himself a contract with Exeter Chiefs, and he's been... You know, he's been playing
just
alongside...
Just gone from strength to strength,
basically,
eh?
Yeah. He's gone from shit to being pretty good.
Okay. And now he's shit, he's good. So he's a bit of both.
Yes.
Shit, he's good. And the winner of shit, he's good this year goes to... Tupouvalli.
Tupouvalli. Well done, mate.
There you go. Accepting this award on behalf of Tupouvalli.
I thought I saw him.
I thought he was here.
Did he have to take off early?
He knocked his head on the way through.
Oh, he's too tall.
Too tall.
He's a big unit.
Yeah, he's even taller than you.
Yes.
Accepting this award on behalf of Tupouvalli is Mark Morgan, the from 2 Cents Rugby, and also a co-host from 2 Cents Gets.
Look out for that guy, Tupouvalli. I mean, you guys would have known it, but he deserves all the plaudits he's been getting, including this 2CGD,
which is, I'm sure, going to be something that he's going to have on
the
mantelpiece
for
it's
sure.
It's going to be something he's going to be proud of.
Put this in the post.
Yeah, put that one on the post for him. Okay, yes. Indeed.
Right.
All right, here we go.
This is another fan-nominated category from our man, Angus.
Beautiful. Oh, now look, we don't like going too negative.
We like to keep things on the positive.
Yeah, exactly. We're positive guys.
But sometimes it's nice to just turn around and take a big old shit.
It is. This is, so you don't want to win this one. This is worst performing coach.
Worst performing
coach.
And
a guy named Angus. Angus, you don't remember, you don't think he's a bad performing.
He's the guy who
Angus
nominated
what?
This category.
Angus anything? Is that his username?
Angus is his username. I've met him. I had a coffee with him in Auckland.
Oh, really?
Why can't I remember his surname right
Why
now?
Why didn't you just meet up with a fan?
Yeah, he's on my Patreon.
Oh, he said. Right. Yeah. Okay. Hello, Angus.
Jeez, I know his surname, but I've gone mind blank. They need to put me on the spot. How dare you?
I apologize.
There you go.
Look, this is not a great list. Warren Gatland from Wales,
13 losses in a row. Yeah, it's not been a great year for Warren Gatland.
It's been an absolute
You could,
shocker.
If you were going to argue against it, you could, and many Welsh fans have made the argument, he doesn't have the cattle. So it's not about him. I've been on the record of saying, I think he can get more out of the playing roster that he's got.
I think Morgan is a great player.
Yeah, Jack Morgan's class.
Jack Morgan's a fantastic player, and there's probably some young guys in there that if they played within a structure that suited them, and I do think a lot of responsibility probably sits on Welsh rugby as a whole, and the professional setup they've had for the last few years is really coming to bear rotten fruit now, as they have not been able to support their local teams. And
It's been a rough year.
Borthwick.
Steve Borthwick.
From
lost
England.
How many games did they lose in a row? Five?
Lost five in a row. They finally got one against Japan.
Lost to us over in New Zealand. Competitive games.
Could have won them.
Lost to us over at Twickenham. Could have won that one. Lost to...
Australia,
which was one they should have won based on like world rankings. What? And then they lost to the Box pretty handily, but they showed some glimpses.
They did. So, like you might say, well, they came close in a lot of things. So
his selections have come under question, though. Like the whole George Ford thing. What do you take off Marcus Smith? Why is he not selecting some of the better performing guys from the Premiership?
It's fickle, though,
he's playing favourites, but it's always easy to point those fingers when a team's losing.
Okay, and final. Oh no, two more. Sorry, we've got Rob Penny.
Rob Penny is the first non-international coach. Took the Crusaders from
seven-time back-to-back
winning champions.
I think you missed a tobacco in there.
Probably.
Could have missed two.
To not even making the playoffs in a competition
where
two-thirds of the teams make the playoffs. And you're up against the likes of the Melbourne Rebels, the Western Force, like Moana Pacifica, like sides who... You don't want to be in that company if you're the Crusaders.
Yeah. The fact that they...
They did have some injuries, but...
But they, from being seven-time back-to-back favourites to cellar dwellers. You have to be a cellar dweller. You have to be a have a really shocking season. You can have a shit season.
You can limp through to the playoffs, at least.
The Tigers been doing it for years.
There's been really bad teams that have made the playoffs in this current format. It's one of the weaknesses about the competition. There's some shit teams with losing records.
That make it
with terrible records that make the knockout stages.
And you, it just... There's no tension and drama in the round robin because you're not like, oh, we have to win this. It's just you just watch them as just an independent game of rugby going.
Basically,
what's going to happen here? Because you know your team's going to qualify. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, the fact that Rob Penny fell off, that's a dramatic fall from grace.
Yes.
And finally, Eddie Jones.
He's having a bit of a rebuild with Japan.
But they haven't had a great year, have they?
They've not gone as well. They've not gone as badly as his year with the Wallabies. He's moving out all the veterans with Japan and bringing in a bunch of the youngsters.
Sort of a go-to. But it's like, what he did at the World Cup last year, isn't it?
Yeah. But, I mean, in the Pacific Nations Cup final, where they played Fiji, like that's the game they should be setting as a marker. Or that's a competition they can win. They've got the resources. They've got the players. They're at home, and they got flogged.
Yeah.
So, a bit shit.
A bit of, not a great performance. But anyway, winner. You might think it's going to be one of these guys that you... But this might be a surprise to you. We're giving it to Rob Penny. And it was a big discussion between Gatland and Rob Penny.
It was.
Really, on who was actually going to get this.
But
Rob Penny.
I think just the expectations going from being literally the favourite for the competition to not even making the playoffs.
Rob, we'll send this one out to you. You can
chuck it in the bin if you want.
You can chuck it in the toilet if you like.
Yeah. Put this on the mantle. Put this over the toilet.
You can put a little bit of potpourri around it. Make it smell better in the toilet, potentially. That's one of the things. But yeah.
Let's light things up a bit.
But it was actually wildly satisfying as a Blues fan to watch it.
I loved every second of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys have had it pretty good in Canterbury.
So good. All right, fantastic. This is a recurring award the Richard Kahui Award for I'm Not Gay, But.
What does that mean?
Basically means I'm not gay, but I can appreciate that guy is fine.
Okay.
A sexy men in rugby is what we're talking about.
Who was our winner last year? Now I'm putting you on the spot.
Shit house.
I don't remember.
I think it was Anthony Watson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
From England.
And I think the year before it was the Frenchman, number 10, what's his name?
Oh, Romain Ntamack.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
I remember I was angry there were no forwards on the list.
I think you had one forward on the list last year.
Okay.
So this year, 60 players. Ruben Love.
He's got the name as well.
Yeah, he's got the name.
It's absolute bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the looks, he's got the talent, he's got the name.
Ruben Love. Do you take Ruben Love to be your lovely wedded husband? Yes. I do.
He's from New Zealand. Yeah. He's a good player.
Ooh, I take you, Ruben. Sasha, a fine bird. Fine.
He is fine. He's a fine player.
Fine by name. Fine by ass. Sasha Feinberg and Gomazolo. I can't read your writing here.
Thibaut Flamont. From France. He is a forward.
Yeah.
He's a big, towering bit of French man.
Yeah. The sex appeal for you. And then another Frenchman, Louis Bialbiere.
He rocks the headgear, which maybe takes a little bit away from his natural good looks.
But there's a sexy beast under there.
And he's fast.
He's quick.
He's unbelievably quick.
But not quick in the sack. He takes his time. he's a sprinter.
Two Frenchmen on the list. That's
he's
a
sprinter on the list. So basically we're giving
the credit to the French for being exotic.
This is a list that comes from the Scrabble Peeps, which is a friend list. The friend WhatsApp group of my fiance, and they go in, they voted on it. Not a great turnout of votes this year, but in a landslide, this person won. Sasha Feinberg Ngozola.
He is fine. He's just back from some injuries. So I'm sure he's going to win more awards in his career, but maybe none as treasured as this one.
Sexiest man in rugby, basically. Apparently his brother was on like Love Island as well.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Well done to Sasha Feinberg and Gomez and his brother.
Fantastic. So,
well done, mate. You're a sexy beast.
You sexy bitch. But as sexy as Richard Kahui, who knows? You know you're sexy if it holds. if an award gets named after you. Okay, now
we've got three to go.
Not so sexy, but
deserving of credit.
Very, very deserving of credit. So this is best old dog. So players are still playing, still representing at an international level, but are just a little bit old, bit long in the tooth. You know, maybe coming towards the end of their careers in some regards. Number one, that were not number one, the first nominee, Cian Healy.
He's 37.
Just broke the Irish record for
most capped most player. Just broke Brian O'Driscoll's record. That's quite an achievement.
This has got a name. This guy's got a name that really should have been on the sexiest playlist. It's Vincent Cock.
I think he's 34. He doesn't seem to age. He looks the same. He still looks like Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible was probably around 34 or 35.
Yeah, probably.
Vincent Cock. Yeah, 34.
Good player.
This is one you probably won't think of.
I love
of.
It that it's two props, but I guess props get better with age, don't they?
Exactly. Like fine wine, those guys. And then we've also got Finn Russell here, who's at the grand old age of 32
for a 10 is getting up there.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the oldest international 10s in the game. Most of them would be a bit younger than
How
that,
old
I think.
Buddy Bodie?
He'd be up there similar, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe he's been a bit snubbed.
Maybe. Sorry, Bunny. I don't think he's got a nomination at all.
No.
And then finally, we've got Bundy R. Key, and he's 34.
Two Irishmen on the list. Irishman with a Kiwi connection. So we've got a kind of Kiwi Irishman on the Bundy O. Key.
O'Key.
O'Key.
O'Key?
Yeah.
Am I saying his name wrong all this time?
Yeah, well, there's got to be an O there, right? Because he's Irish now.
I get it. Like, I'm an O Sullivan. It took me a while. I was like, O'Key. I was like, is that the proper pronunciation? Okay, Bundy Aki is the final one.
He was nominated for Six Nations Player of the Year at like 34, so not bad.
Not a bad effort. But he didn't win it. The winner goes to Cian Healy.
Cian Healy, well done.
Well done. So that's a new fresh one, by the way.
It is, yes.
So Cian Healy, he was maybe all week this week. Then last minute text saying that his dog got stuck in the toilet. And he couldn't make it. So accepting this award on his behalf is Mark Morgan.
We'll get this out to you.
Who also happens to be a co-host from 2 Cents Gets Distracted.
Which is a rugby podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well done.
Right. So we're getting towards the tail end, although I think I'm missing one.
Oh, have you lost one? Which one have you lost?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, you found it.
I found it. All right, here you go.
Ba-boom. What do we got here? Okay. Oh, the Salt Bay Award for the saltiest person slash group of fans of the year.
It can be slightly negative. We gave it to the All Blacks fans last year for the
outrage against the
World Cup final. People were salty.
We were just butthurt and we didn't know how to deal with our emotion.
TMO's fault. It's too much TMO.
We were
TMO.
Just so close, but it just was so far.
Yes.
But anyway, so can we not relitigate our sadness? That was tough. Okay, so here we got Blues fans for Hoskins Satutu not making the ABs. I were pretty salty about it.
He was quite literally the Super Rugby player of the tournament, and yet is not good enough to make the All Blacks.
Somebody with a very similar name was the player that they picked in front of him who turned out to be the
breakthrough player of the year, Wallace Satutu. So maybe the pick was justified.
But I still feel like he should have had a spot in front of the likes of Blackadder or Finau.
Right.
You know, he played so well.
Yes.
You know, look, I'm getting salty just talking.
You're just
about
thinking about it. Yeah.
Bloody hell. Box fans for Russie not being nominated for Coach of the Year, which seems as though...
I feel like Springbok fans have been in a pretty jolly mood throughout the year because they've pretty much won everything.
Yeah, haven't had a lot to bitch about.
But South African fans were not happy when Russie missed out on the Coach of the Year. What's weird with that award is they didn't even tell us who the nominees were.
Yeah.
They just released the award. And like every other year, they've released a list of nominees. This year, they were just like, the French Sevens coach. And there's never been a Sevens coach who's ever won it before.
If Russie had not won, had not done the sort of Big Brother breakdown video of the Lions, he's in the black book of World Rugby, obviously.
Yes. He has won Coach of the Year before for that 2019 World Cup year.
That was before
the Lions tour.
Yeah. So.
But World Rugby clearly, you know, even my dad was just like, clearly World Rugby, I don't like him.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
It's just the thing.
Like, should he have made that video? No. Should there be overarching effects? I don't know. Like, he had almost like a sentence that he had in the first place for doing it. Like, it was.
It just seems weird because they've never given it to a sevens coach before.
Yeah.
Like, there's been coaches like Gordon Titchens, and then like Fijian coaches with their Olympic-level teams have never gotten it in the past.
I guess the argument is the fact that where the French team was before the rugby, before the Olympics, and the esteem you hold on the Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
I know, that's
But they gave it to DuPont for player, so surely you pick one or the other. But anyway.
Okay, and sadly, we've got another couple of reoccurring nominees here.
Okay.
Rob Penny.
Rob Penny.
Wasp of you, winning or
if
winning.
You guys outside New Zealand may have missed it, but he was being asked, because his season was going pretty poorly.
Yes.
He was getting asked some pretty hard questions by journalists here in New Zealand.
One in particular was just basically saying, do you feel comfortable about your job next year?
Yeah.
Are you going to stick around? Do you attribute the poor performance to your performance and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like, asking some pretty hard questions. Pointed questions. Kind of fair.
Yeah, because you had an absolute dog shit season.
What are you supposed to say?
If you're doing so well in the what do you attribute? Like, the sort of softball questions that Razor used to get when he was winning all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, what is your overall philosophy?
How yeah.
do you get the great... You've got incredible results. How do you get such greatness out of these players?
Yeah.
The other way is, you've got to take that's the good
that,
with the bad.
That's how the coaching deal
that's
works.
That's the coaching game, sadly. Yes. And finally...
He called one of the journalists an effing disgrace.
Yeah, so why he's on this list. There was one...
press conference.
That conference in itself. He was still on his hot mic and he said... Who was that C-bomb?
I think so, he's an effing disgrace. And the media manager guy was just like, I'll tell you later. Like, get the microphone off.
Yeah, which is a pretty rookie move anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, and finally, Warren Gatland, specifically for his comments after the Fiji game.
Yeah, he was not a happy chappy in the post-match with Fiji.
Mm.
I looked at the stats of that game and largely the favourable ones went in Fiji's favour.
We went through it. And it
so
was like,
I don't know that there was
gained,
a...
gained, yeah, tackles broken.
I don't
tackles.
Know that there was too much to complain about, but he still managed to find a way to complain.
And he sort of compared it to the fact that all throughout the year they'd had one or two calls that had gone against them that have been crucial. Anyway, so the Salt Bay Award for saltiest person/group of fans goes to Warren Gatland.
There you go, Gats.
There you go, Gats.
You won something this year, mate.
Now, we invited Warren, but we had to tell him what...
The category, we didn't get a reply.
He told us to shove it up his arm.
There we go. Yeah. So, we'll send this out to you, Gats. You can,
exactly. Well, he's not too far away. He'll be somewhere in Hamilton sometime.
We'll just drive on the road and
over this
drop
summer.
This off next time I see
Could
you.
Could be in New Zealand right now.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Probably is. Two to go.
Here we go.
Here's the one I thought I lost.
You found it.
I found it.
Oh, this is my favourite award.
Your favourite award?
Favourite award. So, best shit team. Now, look, we're not trying to say this team is shit. Sort of we are, but it's basically...
It's kind of like the exceeds expectations
award.
Yeah,
most improved almost. It's like you've gone above and beyond where we thought you were actually.
Yes.
Were. So, best shit team. And actually, this team, in the first nominee, actually won in the first year under Rennie.
Right.
Where they were exceeding expectations by having close games.
That's right.
Australia.
Yeah, it's been a mixed bag for Joe Schmidt.
That game is like Argentina was a particularly low point.
They beat the Welsh at home. Mm-hmm. They beat Georgia kind of unconvincingly. And then they kind of had a bit of a crap rugby championship, but they pushed us in one game. Like you said, they got absolutely flogged by the Pumas. They only won one game, but then there was some glimpses in that Autumn Nation series that, the Lions tour next year might not be even Stevens, but it's not going
to
be...
But hey, what a challenge and what a time to pull your team together. And
they seem to be tracking in the right direction.
Because I think, you think about the Lions as this team of, four very powerful rugby nations, and they should be amazing.
Andy Farrell's going to have to gel them. That's
but
the
yeah,
thing.
That's the, one of the things, one of the hardest things about a Lions team is they always look a little bit shit towards the beginning of the season.
It is the hardest thing on the tour, isn't it?
Yeah, they have to blend together, they have to blend all the
And they've
styles.
Been getting less and less time through over the years, right?
Yeah.
Because the rugby calendar is so packed that they don't have...
So it becomes like this really, really interesting thing.
You have to gel a team in such a short time because you get the players with such a limited time. So,
indeed. We're on Australia for a little while there. Next nominee is Italy.
Italy. Usually wooden spoon guaranteed in the Six Nations, but managed to get a draw with the French.
Which is a hell of an effort.
They beat the Scots, they beat the Welsh, so insane. Six Nations-wise, pretty good.
And even put in a pretty gallant performance against the All Blacks.
Against us. They had a mixed bag when they toured Asia Pacific. I think they lost to Samoa, beat Tonga, went over to Japan and beat them pretty handily. So it
showed a bit of something.
Yeah. And new coach as well.
Touring the islands is one of the hardest places to play. Yeah. Like, in that heat and that environment.
Conditions totally different.
Then also, look, this is not a shit team, but they're the best shit team. Well, they're not made for the best shit team. Argentina.
Let's face it, Argentina are...
They've always been number four.
They've always
four.
Been wooden spooner in the rugby championship.
Were they? No, Australia were this year.
They were. That's right. They didn't finish last in the rugby championship. Yep. They beat every team, which has been talked about a lot in the rugby championship, which is a first. And they've had their ups and downs.
They beat the South Africans
away. Yep. Oh, and, sorry. At home for
and
them.
They
yep.
absolutely spanked the living balls off Italy.
That's right.
And also Australia.
That's right. So to go from a team which is like, oh yeah, they show up at the World Cup and they'll have a good run.
It's been a great season.
It's been a great season.
I think if we were having best performing coach Kontopomi, would have
for sure, for sure. To go from being like never really being a head coach to being like. You know, right up there.
And finally, this is one you're going to have to tell me a little bit more about, USA.
The USA, yeah. Mainly on their Autumn Nation Series performances, they won. I think they beat Tonga. They beat Romania. I think they beat, was it Spain or Portugal?
They beat Tonga, that's a good result.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they've had a wee bit of a resurgence after. Like, they were terrible last year. They didn't even make the World Cup.
Yeah.
Which they should have, but...
It's nice to see that they've had a little bit of a better year because it's one of those teams that World Rugby has always tried to
champion. They've given them the World Cup after the next one, so they up their game. They've got the MLR now, so a lot of these guys
It's going to be a bit sad if they have their own World Cup and they get spanked by 60
points. Flogged by everybody. Like Japan, when they hosted the World Cup, actually put in a showing worthy of the host, so...
They don't have the professional competition in Japan is a lot stronger than the professional.
Yeah, it's still kind of semi-professional in the States.
How did my Free Jackers, did they win it this year?
Did they win it? Did they make the final?
Free Jackers.
I think they did.
Yeah, go to the Free Jackers.
I didn't follow them a lot that much this year.
Anyway, the award for Best Chip Team goes to Argentina.
Well, Felipe, I saw him. He was that bald head of his. He was very conspicuous.
Yeah, exactly. Off the lights in here that was bouncing off.
Did he have to pop eyes in the bathroom? Or
one too many...
Wines on the plane, you know, so...
Yeah, he had to bugger off.
But there's been stomach bugs and whatnot going around,
accepting this award on behalf of Argentina, the entire nation, is Mark Morgan from 2 Cents Rugby, also one of the co-hosts of 2 Cents.
You guys won't be eligible for this award next year, Argentina, because your expectations are too high.
Yeah, exactly. You really scraped in for best shit.
You were only just on the list.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're a good team. You are not the kind of, you know, expected wooden spooner rugby championship anymore. We're watching you.
Yeah. A team that really goes above and beyond.
That's right.
Indeed.
Final award.
Final award. There we go. Oh, look. This is a contentious one.
I know.
It is hard. Now, look.
South Africans love their rugby.
When we were talking about best heel, we almost nominated me. Because I've had a love-hate relationship with South African fans. I love South Africa.
They are easily the biggest rugby fan base on the internet.
Yeah, by
if you look at any forum, any YouTube channel, my biggest audience is, I think it's 30% South Africans. Yeah,
absolutely. And I have found them, especially towards the beginning of the year, I found them a little painful to deal with. But as the year went on...
You're finding yourself bonding a wee bit with our South African brothers.
They're very nice and respectful in terms of things regarding the All Blacks when we're not playing them.
Right.
Which is nice. But they've just been so damn good. And just so undeniably the best team in the world.
Right.
And there is a huge amount of reflux and vomit coming up my throat as I'm saying that. But it's the God's honest truth. So we have to go through this bloody tough award. 2 years in a row I've had to do this because they won the World Cup last year and have been the most dominant...
This year?
Last year, sorry. Oh, and won the... and been the best team in the world this year by a fair way. We have to really highlight one of them, a South African, for most valuable SAFA.
Most valuable SAFA. This is not the first time we've given this award.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But this year, we're taking it very seriously.
Right.
Okay.
I may not have written those in the correct order, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the first nominee is Rossi Erasmus. And look,
clearly a very valuable staffer. He has taken this side from being that 57-0 side under Alistair Coetzee to being back-to-back world champions.
And the number one team in the world.
And this year, they lose only two games, each by a point, and they win every competition they're in for. Like, they beat, they took the Freedom Cup off us. They won the Rugby Championship for the first time in a non-World Cup year in bloody ages.
They won the Qatar Airlines Cup.
They just won everything.
Well done.
They went. They were the only them and the French went through the All Nations Series, winning all their games.
Again.
It's been quite a year for South African rugby.
Next
and much of that is down to Rossi.
And the fact that
he's having surgery at the moment.
He didn't win
World Coach of the Year, which
so
just
he probably should win something.
He should win something.
Maybe
This will make up for it if he's able to win it.
Who knows? We'll have to find what's going to happen in the envelope.
Yes.
Peter Steftatoi.
Now, we maybe shouldn't have nominated him based on our rules because he did get World Player of the Year, but he is a freak.
He really is.
He's genuinely just been such a valuable Saffer.
Just the him and the contact, he just dominates.
He plays lock, he plays loose forward.
Can you remember a tackle that he's been involved in that hasn't been a dominant tackle?
Oh, he's just this beast of a man. And he's got a winery as well.
Fantastic.
Him and his family are like farmers.
Feel free to sponsor the podcast, Peter Steftatoi, especially if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Which
you may well do. You're up against some pretty tough opposition with old Rossi there. Right, sure. He may not want to win it against his boss.
Exactly. You take this one, Rossi. Yeah, a little less fitness training maybe next year. He seems like the type of freak who wants more.
That's right.
Oxenshay.
He didn't get a nomination for World Player of the Year, which seemed outrageous.
Which seemed like a real slap in the face to fat bastards everywhere. Hey. Not that he's a fat bastard, but big guys, heavy set men.
Yeah. Know? It's
like, why can't you
They don't love props, the old world rugby guys. There's no prop love.
And that's your favorite category on Pornhub.
Exactly.
Prop love.
I love a bit of prop love.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's disgraceful.
It's weird. He's in there yanking the chain to Franz Malherber and Oxenshay, and I'm there with the Six Nations logo.
Exactly. Yeah, just love me some big bastards.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And finally,
the incumbent.
The incumbent, but a bit of a mate of ours, friend of the podcast, great YouTube channel, Rian Lowe.
He's doing the hard yards.
He does the hard yards. He represents.
Covers the URC, covers the rugby news, does the rugby updates. He's got a couple of kids. He had a newborn, I think, this year.
So the new one must be around about just almost 21 now.
Surely.
So, like,
they've had sickness throughout the low household.
But
he still puts out videos when he's crook.
You know, other than your channel,
I think he did go on holiday there, the bastard.
Well, he's not going to win it.
How dare he?
Exactly. Well, good luck to him. He's
up against some
pretty stuff. The fact he's nominated amongst these great names, that's really something. It really is a testament to the man. You ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Okay. Most valuable Saffer goes to, and winning for another year, is Rian Lowe.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Who would have guessed?
Is Rian here? Did we fly him out?
I wanted to, but his wife said, no, you got to stay home.
Oh, he's going to help look after the kids. We'll get this out to you, Rian.
He is a fantastic. The rugby update is one of the funnest, funniest, wittiest.
He does sometimes little skits and stuff.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He really, really
I always
is.
Watch his stuff. I get to comment. I'm slack like
he's
that.
He's an absolute legend. He often is in the comments of our videos.
Yes.
He's an absolute ledge of a man. You'll see him sometimes on the 8-9 podcast.
Yeah.
Those guys we've got a really good relationship with.
Yeah.
And if he's your favorite rugby tuber's favorite rugby YouTuber. He made an incredible video maybe beginning of this year called What is Rugby or something like that. If you haven't seen that,
it's cracking.
Link to it.
I'll put a card.
Put a card to it. Yeah. He's got a cracking YouTube channel. I wish there were more rugby YouTube channels like it. That we need to laugh at ourselves a little bit and see the lighter side of rugby. And he's a absolute legend and definitely deserves most valuable sack.
2 years in a row.
In our eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
And the eyes of the voters.
Yeah, exactly. And but yeah, as I said before, he can't be with us tonight, sadly, Rian. We probably should have. accepting on his behalf is Mark Morgan.
Cheers, Rian.
2 Cents Rugby, one of the co-hosts of 2 Cents, gets distracted.
Well, there we go.
There we go. Oh boy, oh boy.
What a night.
What a night. A night of glitz and glamour once again. The third annual. Three of these bastards
were done. I know.
The real work is I have to edit all the things coming in and stuff.
Hard life.
It is, but yeah, thank you very much for watching the 2CGDs. This is the commencement of the 2CGDs for this year.
So thank you for being along for the entire year.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yes, but this actually comes at the same time as the final episode of 2 Cents Gets Distracted for another year.
Season 3 in the bag.
Done. Another 30 or so episodes done. Jeepers, we keep sitting here drinking beers and wine very rarely.
This is true. And people are here watching with us.
We appreciate you. We
exactly
really do.
Exactly, we do.
We are absolutely no one special. No, especially me. Are you a little bit special, Mark? Special needs?
Maybe? Yeah, maybe special needs.
Yeah. But we do appreciate anyone who takes the time to watch or just listen in the car.
We will be back next year.
We will be. Mm.
We'll see what Tony's going to do with this murmur.
Oh, yeah. Our sound record. You reckon there's a murmur on there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you have heard a murmur throughout this podcast,
we apologize.
We do apologize.
The red light's still on.
So that's a good sign.
It's not audio coming to the camera, which you would not appreciate.
No. But yeah, thank you for watching for the rest of the year. I hope everyone has a safe and merry Christmas with their families.
Yes.
Depending upon whereabouts in the world you are, whether you're having a hot and sunny Christmas or a cold
and steamy.
Hot, steamy, and sexy one. Wherever it is, I hope it's sexy.
So we will be back next year for the Six Nations.
You're going to be still plugging away talking about URC over the bloody
summer. European rugby's coming up, so yeah, be watching some of that.
Oh, jeez, it just never ends. Do you just think to yourself sometimes, I don't know when I'm not watching rugby, or is it just sort of this endless
struggle? I don't mind it.
I guess for a job.
There's worse things I could be doing.
If you could have a job, watching rugby ain't that bad.
It ain't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's all right. Anyway, well done, Mark.
Thank you, champ.
Congratulations for another year.
It's another year.
Done and dusted.
Anybody who wants to sponsor the next episode next year in the pre-build-up to the Six Nations?
Your details are below.
My details are in the description.
Fantastic. And you've got a hard act to follow with the incredible sponsors that we've had so
Thank
far.
You so much to our sponsors. Thank you much for, you know, just being along for this year.
We do appreciate it.
We definitely
Big
appreciate
year next
it.
Big year with the Lions and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Lions tour on the way. There's lots to look forward to.
And then we'll start murmuring about the World Cup. A little bit of these guys are getting old. Who's going to come up through the teams? Who do you think is going to be, this time next year, who's the number one ranked team in the world?
I think Rusty's doing the right thing with the box. He's blooding the youngsters.
Tony Brown seems to be making a positive impact.
Brown ball.
You've got brown balls.
And then get that checked.
Yeah, exactly. One of them's a bit purple.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to get that checked. All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching.
Thank you, folks.
Such a Merry Christmas.
Take care of yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
All right, good work, Mark.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.